Hello, Super Sleuths. Welcome to the latest episode of Where the Monsters Are. I'm Louise.
And I'm Sarah.
Please subscribe where you listen to your podcasts. We're on all the major channels like Apple, Spotify and Google. And while you're there, if you could give us a review or even if you just want to get in touch to give us an idea of what you'd like us to cover in the future, that would be great as well. We're also on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Where the Monsters Are, so give us a follow and a like there as well because we'd love to hear from you. So, this week's episode is going to be about a mysterious case that happened in 1991. Five boys went into the foothills at the base of Mount Waryong in Daegu, which actually means large hill in the Korean language, in the Dalso district of South Korea in March 1991, but failed to return home despite numerous massive searches by the public, police and even the military. 26th of March 1991 was the first time in South Korean history that regional elections took place. This was for the election of local councils, and a national public holiday was taking place in the city, county and urban ward levels, so the whole country was out to vote on that day. People were off work and schools were closed. These elections marked an important milestone on the road to democracy in South Korea, and therefore received a lot of media attention. In an ideal world, that would have been perfectly fine, but in this case, the election sadly took away some attention from the five boys when they went missing. The boys in question were five friends who went to Songso Elementary School and often played together. Kim Yong-in was 11, Park Chan-in was 10, Woo Chol-won was 13, and the oldest of the boys, Jo Ho-yeon, was 12, and the youngest was Kim Jong-shi at age 9. Another boy was also with them for some of the day, 10-year-old Kim Tae-ryong. They had spent most of that morning playing, as children do. They were outside Ho-yeon's house, but they were being a bit too loud, so they were shooed off by one of his neighbours for causing too much noise. Now, the sixth boy, Kim Tae-ryong, told the others that since he hadn't had any breakfast that morning, he was hungry, so he briefly left the group to go home for some food. And it was while he was there that the other boys decided that since they couldn't stay in that area and play, they would instead go off to the nearby Mount Waryong. This was a popular location for hikers and indeed for local children, who quite often would go and play in the area. Even though the path around Mount Waryong, which was really a large hill and is supposed to resemble a dragon lying down, which is where it gets its name, could be treacherous and you could temporarily get lost, hiking was easier than you would have expected because of the excellent lighting that came from the nearby town. Mount Waryong is almost 300 metres above sea level. There are various folk tales connected to it. One of these is that there was a jade pond under a mountain and a dragon used to play in the jade pond. One day when the dragon was about to go up to the sky, a woman passing by the pond saw the dragon and yelled, "The mountain is moving." Hearing the sound, the dragon fell to the ground and became the mountain. So, back to the boys. After getting something to eat, Tae-ryong arrived back to where the boys were waiting for him and they told him they'd decided they were going to go into Mount Waryong to look for salamander eggs. Tae-ryong was disappointed because he'd been told by his mum when he went back home not to venture too far from home, so he told them he wouldn't be able to go with them. Disappointed, he waved his friends off, not knowing at that time that it would be the last time he would see them. The boys made their way the short distance, it was only a couple of kilometres, to the mountain and were never seen alive again. When 6 p.m. that night came around and there was no sign of them, their worried parents left their houses and went to Mount Waryong to search for their missing children. But when it started to get dark and they'd still not found any sign of the missing boys, they reported them missing to the local police. The police were quick to set up a search party and search Mount Waryong and the surrounding areas until 3 a.m, but they had no luck finding them either. Initially, coverage of the election, as I said, eclipsed the disappearance of the boys, but this didn't last long. There hadn't been a case of five missing children in South Korea before, so once they learned of the disappearance, they jumped on the story, and the story of the Frog Boys made headlines around the nation. You might ask why they were called the Frog Boys. This was a decision on the part of the press because they didn't think the general South Korean public would know what a salamander was, so they went with frog instead.
Salamander? Why would they call them salamander boys?
Because they were going to find salamander eggs.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know. It's the press. They call things names, don't they? President Roh Tae-woo offered a reward of 42 million won, which when adjusted for inflation is about $10 million or £8 million today.
Okay.
And initiated a huge manhunt of 300,000 police and military personnel to search the area for the boys. The area was actually searched over 500 times during the course of the investigation. Some of the boys' parents even gave up their jobs so they would be available to help in the search. They were just desperate to find their children. To try to find the boys, local school children organised a Find the Frog Children campaign and milk cartons carry photographs of the boys, so they were basically everywhere, all over Korea. Mount Woryong is 3 kilometres square, so you would think if there was anything to find in the area, they would have. However, despite the huge manpower, not a sign of the boys was found. Witnesses came forward with potential leads, but even though they provided a timeline of events, they didn't help to find the missing boys. Ho-yeon's brother, Mu-yeon, came forward and said that he'd come across his brother and his friends while he'd been riding his bicycle. They'd told him they were going to look for salamander eggs, and this, along with talking to Tae-ryong, was how they had known where to search. A woman who lived near the base of the mountain remembered coming home at about 9 a.m. after going out to vote in the election. Seeing the boys and overhearing them say they were planning to return home after a couple of hours spent looking for the salamander eggs. So it should have only been a couple of hours at the most that they should have been away. A fellow Songso Elementary School student named Han Sung-hoon told police that even though he hadn't seen the boys, he had heard them at Mount Woryong. He lived in the area and, similar to the boys, had been there with his brothers, again searching for salamander eggs. He said that he and his brothers had been by the ancestral graveyard when they heard two screams about 10 seconds apart. This would have been at around 11:30 a.m, but this timeline was contradicted by another witness who was a classmate of Choi Won, one of the missing boys. Lee Tae-sok and Kim Kyung-yul said that they had seen the boys at the entrance to the hiking trail in the foothills and had called out to them asking what they were doing and where they were going. They said the boys told them they were going to search for bullet casings in the hills.
Bullet casings?
Yeah. Now, something else I need to say about the area where the boys went missing. This was used as a shooting range by the South Korean Army's 50th Infantry Division.
Oh.
And this does come into the story a bit later when theories were put forward to explain what could have happened to the boys, but a bit more about that later. Another woman came forward and said that she'd seen 5 boys hiking in the mountain at about 2 p.m. When no sign of the boys could still be found, the police put forward the theory that they must have got lost somewhere on the trail. But as I said earlier, even though hiking there could be dangerous, the boys were familiar enough with the area to not have gotten lost. There was even a reenactment done years later by a TV show, where they picked some children in the same age range as the missing boys, left them in Mount Woryong, and every single one of them managed to find their way back with no problems. Some of the theories that were put forward as to what had happened to the boys ranged from a kidnapping ring operating in South Korea at the time who put the children they kidnapped onto the streets to beg for money. North Korean spies were suspected. North Korea and South Korea have been divided for over 70 years since the Korean Peninsula became the unexpected casualty of the escalating Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States. Bit of background on the history of North and South Korea. For centuries before, the peninsula was a unified Korea ruled by generations of dynastic kingdoms. It was occupied by Japan after the Russo-Japanese War in 1905 and stayed that way for 35 years until the end of World War II when its division into two nations began. Michael Robinson, a professor of East Asian Studies at Indiana University, said the catalyzing incident is the decision that made, really without the involvement of the Koreans, between the Soviet Union and the US to divide the country into two occupation zones. After the end of World War II, the Soviet Union and the United States divided control over the Korean Peninsula, with the Soviets setting up a communist regime north of what would become the 38th parallel. A military government was established south of the border, directly supported by the US government. The South formed its own government, as I say, in Seoul, with the North Koreans forming their own government called the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in the capital city Pyongyang. with former communist guerrilla Kim Il-sung as its leader. His family has ruled the country for three generations, with his grandson, Kim Jong-un, being the supreme leader of North Korea since 2011. So he's the guy that's there now. The air of mystery that's been around the North since it formed its own government has fostered the suspicions of the countries around it. So when the boys went missing, the idea that North Korean spies were responsible was easily believed, despite there being no evidence that that was the case. A special investigation police team was still in place until 2001, but there were no leads or clues. So bear in mind, this happened in 91. So 20 years later, there was still nothing. An outlandish theory was that a leper had killed the boys, because there was a myth that eating a child's liver would cure leprosy, and they even put forward alien abduction as a possible.
Oh dear.
That always comes out the woodwork, doesn't it?
Mm.
A film was released in 1992 called Frog Boys. This was a year after their disappearance, and since no evidence had been found to suggest foul play, there was always the hope that the boys had simply run away from home, perhaps as an adventure. The film was made as a way to tempt the boys to come home, but that never worked. The years passed and attention from the outside world waned, leaving only the devastated families of the boys to remember them. The country eventually forgot about the Frog Boys. That was until 11 years later, on the 26th of September 2002, when a man who was foraging for acorns in the woods on Mount Warryong found the badly decomposed bodies of five boys.
Oh.
Mm. I thought it was just going to be a mystery and no one would ever find anything, but no, sadly not. He called the police and they swarmed the area. Now, the odd thing about the location where the boys were found was that it was the site of the army shooting range that I mentioned earlier, which in the intervening years had been relocated to a nearby town, so they didn't use that anymore for shooting. So that means that the area that had been searched numerous times when the boys disappeared, it was actually the location where the bodies were found.
And why they never found them before then?
Well, this goes back to the rumours that came out. Rumours abounded that the boys had been accidentally shot by stray bullets during a training exercise and the Korean military had covered it up. What is notable is that when the police were investigating the site where the bodies were found, they used pickaxes, so they pretty much destroyed the area. So no evidence.
They were put there afterwards, you think?
Yeah. Well, no. I think from what I read, the military and possibly the police were the only ones to search that area because it was used by the military. So this is a conceivable explanation for the fact that nobody had found the bodies during the search. So if the military had done it and they'd buried the boys there, then in theory nobody else was going to be around to find them anyway. So it's conceivable. However, the military moved the shooting range in 1994, so 3 years after the boys' disappearance. If the area had been free to explore since then, why it took 8 further years to find the bodies, I don't know if that was the case. But there was never any evidence, nothing was ever sort of released to say that the bodies had been put there afterwards. It looked like where they were buried, that was where they were actually buried when they first died. The government made an announcement as to the official cause of death, which was backed up by medical experts. They said the boys must have become lost and had succumbed to hypothermia. The bodies were entwined together and covered in their own clothes, some of which had been tied in knots when they were found, which the police medical experts said could be a sign of the boys trying to keep warm after becoming cold and confused.
When they were tied together?
Now, this seems unlikely, however, because they were only 2 kilometres away from home and would have been able to see lights and hear traffic, so they wouldn't have got lost.
No.
And the fact that they had all those children reenact it proves that they wouldn't have got lost. And they'd been up in the mountain many times, so they knew where they were going.
And what be the chance of, like, 5 of them that happening to?
Exactly, yeah. This was backed up by the forensic scientists who investigated the case, because they said that was no way what had happened. They believed at least 3 of the boys had died from blunt force trauma caused by a blunt object. There were fracture marks on 3 of the skulls and they all had what looked like a bullet hole. The theory had been, as I say, that maybe at least 1 of the boys had been shot accidentally and the others had been killed to cover up the death.
Yeah.
That would explain why the military never found any of the boys despite the massive search. Now, bear in mind, there's 300,000 military and police.
Mm.
And they searched that place 500 times. There's no way they would have missed that. I would not have thought they would anyway. Because the area that you're looking at with Mount Warryong, I think it was like it was something stupid, like 3 kilometres square. So right. It's not like it's a massive area. It was, yeah. Eventually, when a proper investigation was conducted, though many thought that the police had botched the investigation, and that does look like that was the case, what with the evidence that could in theory have been destroyed when using their pickaxes to excavate the site. The eventual findings of this investigation was that the boys had almost certainly been murdered by person or persons unknown. Shell casings had been found nearby. The boys had been apparently tied up and had been struck on their heads with some kind of blunt implement, which was in line with what the forensic scientists had said earlier. Moss was also found growing inside the boys' skulls, which suggested to the experts that the boys had been hastily buried, but over time, as they lay in a gully, water eventually exposed their remains. So I guess that could explain why nobody found them in the 8 years after the army had moved their shooting range.
Oh.
Guess that could be why maybe it took water time to actually release the bodies, maybe. Regardless of what the findings were, we're now in 2022, and by South Korean law, even if they did find the culprit, the statute of limitations for the crime has long since passed.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they would not be able to prosecute anyone. Despite this, police have declared that they will continue to investigate to try to discover the truth of what had happened to five little boys who had simply gone to the mountain to search for salamander eggs. I'm not too sure what I believe in this one. Could it have been a stranger that had come across the children and had seen an opportunity and killed all of the boys? In my opinion, for this to be the case, I'm not sure how one person could subdue five boys with none of them managing to get away to raise the alarm. Five boys is a lot of... That's a lot.
Hmm.
As much as I would like to not believe it, the one that arguably makes the most sense would be a military cover-up. If I was doing an investigation of this case, I would ask the question, again, of why the military and police, of which there were over 300,000, had searched Mount Warryong over 500 times, never found any sign of anything. Even if the bodies had been buried, you'd think if they'd searched the place for over 500 times, there would have been some evidence of freshly buried remains, you would think, because they were looking straight away as soon as they pretty much disappeared.
Unless they just didn't put them there straight away.
Maybe, but everything I read suggested that they had, that where they found them, where that guy looking for his acorns, where he found them was where they were buried from the start. I don't know how...
Yeah, but I don't mean like years later. Maybe just, you know, while the initial searches in that area were going on.
Maybe.
Going on, you know.
Yeah, no, that is true, yeah. Yeah, that could be the case.
Mm.
So what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's probably... I wouldn't have thought they all got shot. I think maybe one of them got shot and then, like you say, they covered it up. But
yeah.
I just find that hard to believe because even if they shot one of them, surely they'd make a noise and the others would try to run for it.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah.
And, you know, the others... Or they would, yeah, they'd just try to run for it, wouldn't they? You'd assume at least one of them would get away out of five.
It was the fact that all five had what looked like bullet holes in their heads, but also three of them had the blunt force trauma, so they'd been hit on the head with something as well.
Yeah.
So whether... I don't know. I mean, it could have been somebody, a person that had done it. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I saw a picture of, like, one of the police investigators holding up one of the skulls, and it does look like a bullet hole. It's the right size, and there were bullet casings all found around the place. So, but I think what tended to happen was that when the children would go searching around that area, they'd go playing, they actually went looking for these bullet casings because they knew that the army had been had been in the area doing their shooting. I don't know.
Maybe it was like hunters or something, you don't know.
Yeah, that I did. I think I saw in
Do
one.
They have any?
I saw one place where it mentioned it could have been by hunters.
Because usually when military are doing stuff like that, they kind of, people know that they're in the area and they tend to stay away, don't they, while they're actually doing the shooting practice. And you can hear them as well, I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think if they're shooting, you'd think the children would have heard the gunshots going off.
Yeah.
Don't know. Maybe hunters is the answer, I don't know.
If it was hunters and they'd shot one of them or a couple of them, I mean, yeah, they'd... Maybe they would try and cover it up.
Yeah.
And the fact that they'd tied them up and that, because, you know, they tie animals up and stuff when they've shot them, don't they?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. I mean, there was evidence that the boys had actually been tied up, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think we'll ever know, to be honest.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so now, because they're not going to bother... They're not going to bother going into too much detail, are they, looking, especially if they can't... If they found out, they can't do anything about it now. So.
No, exactly. I mean, I was actually surprised at that there is a statute of limitations on murder over there. I guess I'm used to watching like TV shows and stuff where, you know, in America there's no, and I guess over here, if you kill somebody,
because you can, people, you know, murders have been solved like 30, 40 plus years later, haven't they?
Exactly. Yeah. So that did surprise me. Any other questions or anything?
No, not really. I mean, I'd not heard of that before.
No, I hadn't.
Reminds me a little bit of that Japanese one with them two girls that went missing for years.
Oh, Uozu City one. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I kind of stumbled on this one. I'd not heard of this one before, but yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. I thought it was going to be, when I first started researching it, I thought it was going to be one of those where they were just never, ever going to find out what happened to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, to know that they did actually find the boys, and at least the parents.
They found them, for the parents. I mean,
yeah, they had closure, I guess, up to
a certain degree. Yeah. Well, at least they could bury them and they know they got the sons back. But they're not going to ever really have closure because they're not ever really going to know what happened.
No. And I think they are still campaigning today to try and find out what happened to them, the parents.
Well, yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, definitely. Okay, so thanks everybody for listening, and if you enjoy the content we're creating, please do give us a follow and a like, and also a review if possible. You can also leave us some comments to tell us if there are any subjects you want us to cover. We hope you all stay safe, super sleuths, and we'll see you next week with another tale. Until then, have a good week. Bye
bye.